Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and today I'd like to continue the conversation we had yesterday as we celebrated the special day of Mary, Mother of the Church. And there's many titles Our Lady is given, and Mother of the Church is one of the more beautiful ones, in my view, just the intimate way that we are connected in the body of Christ together, and then the beautiful way in which Jesus, in my view, fulfilled the fourth commandment, honoring your father and your mother. And he has truly honored his mother, and with the unique role that she has, both having been assumed into heaven, but crowned queen of heaven and earth, and is deeply united to all the people of God. And one of the great graces of the church, the teaching of the church, helps us to lay hold of that. And so Mary, the mother of the church, it's expressed in a variety of ways for different reasons. For example, it starts with, obviously, the divine motherhood of Mary. I don't mean to say she's divine. We have to remember that very clearly. Mary is a creature just like you and I. She's a human being. But she also was, by the grace of God, and really ultimately theologically, by virtue of the death of her son, you'd say that the blood of Jesus, his death on the cross, this is the means by which every single human being that enters heaven is in some way united to that saving act of Jesus for everyone, right? And in the mystery of God's plan, that act, that reality was applied to Mary's life at her conception, and she was protected from the stain of original sin, all by the Father's will, not her pot, right? She was just a baby in the womb. She was just, and so it was an act of the Father's plan, the Father's mercy, and she received it. And throughout her life, the Lord was preparing her. The Father was preparing her to be the mother of the Lord. And that's where it starts, with the incarnation. Luke 1:38, behold, Mary says, I'm the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to thy word. Right? The angel came, angel Gabriel came and told her. She was stunned. Everybody's always stunned when the angel comes, you know, and that God has chosen you. God has a great plan for you. And the Holy Spirit is overshadowing you. It's one of the most beautiful things you see right there, is that the mission of salvation for the world is a Trinitarian mission. It's a mission that begins in the heart of the loving Father who sends forth the Holy Spirit. And through the grace of the Holy Spirit, you know, Jesus is conceived in Mary's womb and she becomes the mother of the Lord, right? And so in that particular way, in the absolutely unique way, no one else is connected to Jesus like Mary is in that particular way, that kind of closeness, intimacy. The blood that flowed through Jesus' veins came from his mother. And so she clearly has a unique role, and it was her yes, her fiat, that cooperated with the Father's saving plan to bring about the salvation of the world. And right from the beginning, she had the critical role. And then Elizabeth, she goes to see her cousin Elizabeth, who says in Luke 1:43, and why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Mary, Elizabeth calls Mary the mother of my Lord, indicating the divine maternity that she said yes to, that work of God that's within her. And then, of course, John chapter 19, verse 26 through 27, at the foot of the cross, at that moment, that unique moment, and who's next to her is John. And Jesus says, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. On the cross, Jesus entrusts Mary to John and John to Mary, and symbolizes Mary's spiritual motherhood of all the disciples and therefore the church. In Acts 1:14, all these were with one accord, devoted themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. When did that take place? On the day of Pentecost. So who was there? Mary was there with the apostles. She already had experienced this anointing, this overwhelmingly beautiful grace of the presence of the Holy Spirit in her life. And she lived a life, because of God's grace, without the stain of sin. How'd that happen? It was cooperating with the unique grace and presence of the power of the Holy Spirit that was in her life. And in all these key moments, she's right there, right at the center. And just like a loving mother, she's present. She's at peace. She sees the larger picture. And the Lord entrusts so much to her. And she said yes. So the catechism has many beautiful paragraphs and things that describing Mary and her various titles and her roles that she has. Catechism, paragraph 963, it says, the Virgin Mary is clearly the mother of the members of Christ, since she has, by her charity, joined in bringing about the birth of believers in the church. How about that? Through her intercession, through her yes, through her really cooperating with the mission that Jesus has given her and continues to give her. She's the star of evangelization as well. It's one of her titles that she is a key historic player, you could say, in the work of salvation that Jesus is bringing about across the world. And of course, think about Our Lady of Guadalupe, probably the largest number of conversions in the shortest amount of time in the history of the Catholic Church. When she appeared to Juan Diego, this poor, simple man, and that's who the Lord usually goes to, because he always does great things through simple and humble people, because he wants to remind everybody that without him, we can do nothing. And God intentionally chooses what's weak in the world. Paul tells us to shame the strong. You know, say, not many of you were wise, not many of you were powerful, not many of you were from noble birth, but God chose the weak so that human beings, especially those, Paul says, who think there's something, can be reduced to nothing. God works through humility in extension of the kingdom. And really one of the characteristics, obviously, of the life of Our Lady is a deep and profound humility and a distinct awareness of who she is, but at peace in the role that the Lord has given to her. And she's just quietly, powerfully, one situation after another, she's there. Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 964. Thus, the Blessed Virgin advanced in her pilgrimage of faith and faithfully persevered in her union with her Son unto the cross, enduring with her only begotten Son the intensity of his suffering. She associated herself with his sacrifice. She was given by Christ Jesus as a mother to his disciple. That's the plan. That's the heart that Jesus wants. We're in Christ. We're little Christs, and what it means to be in Christ is to love what he loves, right? And he loves the Father. We love the Father. He's poured out the Holy Spirit so we can know the Father, so we can know the love of the Father, so we can be literally like him. And you know who else he loves? Like with all his heart is his mother. I mean, who doesn't love their mother with all their heart, right? And we are united to Jesus, and it is a profound gift from the Lord for us to be able to have a unique relationship with his mother, with Mary. And she's able to be a witness and able to be an intercessor, able to have, you could say, relationship with people in the church because of the grace of the power of the Holy Spirit that's at work in her. Everything Our Lady does, every part of the mission that unfolds, is under the lordship of Jesus, just like everybody. And her yes is a total yes for all eternity. And she's a model for us to be able to walk as she did. When the Lord comes to us and the gospel came to you, was there a moment where you said yes to Jesus? Thy will be done. It's right there in the Lord's Prayer. Let your will be done unto me according to thy word. That's an imitation to Mary, the first disciple, you could say. And then she goes and she celebrates and she lives in the wonder of what God is unfolding in her life. And she magnifies the Lord. You know, that beautiful prayer in the Magnificat, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. So she's rejoicing. And you know what she's doing now? She's rejoicing in heaven. She knows the battle has been won, that her Son is enthroned. The kingdom of God is here for all eternity. Salvation is being offered across the world. She's passionately praying and engaging in that mission. But she wants to help us to overcome the storylines in our life that cloud our mind and heart from seeing the magnificent things that the Lord has done for us. She wants us to follow in her footsteps, as she follows in the footsteps of Jesus, absolutely, totally trusting the Father and being able to live with in our mind and heart, no matter what the circumstances are in our lives, with the realization of the mighty works of God that have come to us. Everyone who's baptized into him, the mighty works of God, because we're baptized into the life of Christ, which is his saving work. He comes to save us. He comes to anoint us. He comes to bring us under his authority and to live his life. And so we learn from her to be able to say, and to hopefully we're saying it each day and following her lead on this. Can you say today, in the face of whatever circumstance you're facing, genuinely from your heart, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For the mighty one, the almighty God, has done great things for me, and holy is his name. We're baptized into Christ, and we're united to his body, and we're united to all those who are united to him, and we're temples of the living God, and the life that Jesus won for us, that the apostles called, you know, the eternal life has appeared to us. The God life is here, and it's given to us, and we have been given power to become children of God. Friends, we can't get anything greater on this planet than that. And it's unfolding. And of course, the devil's great deception is to try to get us to not think about it, to just be constantly focused on what we don't have and the pursuing of things here on the earth, and we don't have time for God. You know his strategies. But it's Our Lady who reminds us, and you know, the saints sing her praises as well. You know, Saint Augustine, Mary is more blessed because she embraces faith in Christ than because she conceives the flesh of Christ. Mary's the archetype of the church in faith and charity. St. Augustine, St. Ambrose, Mary's the model of the church in the order of faith, charity, and perfect union with Christ. St. John Paul II, who had such a beautiful devotion to Our Lady, Mary was present in the birth of the church and continues to accompany by her maternal care for us. And as Pope Paul VI at the Vatican Council declared Mary as Mother of the Church back in 1964. So we happily agree with that as members of the church, and we're happy to say that Mary is our mother in the spirit, and we're united to her because of the works of her beloved son. And let's honor her today by ending with saying a Hail Mary and lifting up our loved ones, our families, the family of the church, lifting up Pope Leo and his new role. Let's pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Mother Mary, thank you for the graces that have come to our lives through your intercession. We love you, and we happily celebrate what Jesus has done in you for our salvation. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once, and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future, and it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.